Welcome into the Extra here on KRDO News Radio. I'm Andrew Rogers. Joining me this hour is Doug Pricey, CEO of Visit Colorado Springs, as well as Susan Davies with the Trails and Open Space Coalition. We're talking a lot about the summer travel season and some hidden gems here locally if you're maybe looking for a staycation. Doug, Susan, thank you as always for joining me here on the Extra.
Thank you, Andrew.
Good to be here.
Well, and let's start off, you know, as we approach the midpoint of the summer, we're seeing an increase in travel. And Doug, how has this really been impacting the local area?
Well, Andrew, we feel very fortunate to be recovering and seeing numbers like we are seeing. One of the ways that we measure activity clearly is to website traffic to visitcos.com. And I can tell you that the website traffic through June of 21 is up 53% over June of 2020, and it's up 25% over year-to-date June of 2019. So the interest is clearly there. We have a tool on our website that is at visitcos.com that is a trip planner, and so we are finding more and more people that are going on and using that trip planner and wanting to get itineraries of things to do here. And the average length of stay for people that are making plans is 5 days. So people are coming, people are staying, and the number one reason that people come to visit is to see friends and family and do things outdoors.
Exactly. You know, hotels around the city are seeing some of their highest occupancy rates ever. And of course, our area businesses are all seeing many more visitors. But along with that comes those crowds and lines. And especially at our restaurants, as we know, a lot of them still feeling the brunt of this ongoing labor shortage.
Yeah, there's it is, you know, I think if you asked any business owner, they would say that managing demand is much better than you know, having to close down or you know, manage, you know, no numbers. I mean, like we had last summer. I mean, there were times clearly in recent memory where the number of people, both residents and visitors, that were going out and doing things was, you know, just it wasn't working. So yes, we do have some lines, and I think that just as creative as our tourism operators were in 2020 and thinking about how flexible they could be, they've had to adapt this year in terms of being understaffed. And I've had retail operators say to me that they're concerned about the inventory that they have because, you know, when you order your summer merchandise, you've got to do that a good 6 months in advance. And, you know, in the height of the pandemic last December, businesses were clearly wondering just what's the summer going to hold. And if you were going to order merchandise, you really didn't want to overstock versus understock. So people are dealing with the realities that now we've got a lot of visitation. We're understaffed in many cases. And we're hoping that the things on the shelves will make it through, you know, the summer. It's just been, there are challenges everywhere, but you know what? We've got really good people that are trying to figure these things out.
Exactly. And as we're trying to figure a lot of these things out too, there's a lot of incredible things the city has to offer, which is just helping to bring more and more people back in and some staples that have gotten that real life. You know, we've got the new Cog Railway, the new Visitor Center, and of course, that beautiful Olympic Paralympic Museum as well that just had its final touches added on with that gorgeous Park Union Bridge.
Yes, yes. You know, Andrew, we moved here 10 years ago from the Northern Virginia, Washington, D.C. area, and we used to have a little joke in the D.C. area when someone would say, well, when was the last time you went to the top of the Washington Monument? And we'd laugh and say, well, you know, since the last time we had a visitor here that said that that's what they wanted to do. And now I can tell your listeners that when you ask the question, when was the last time you went to the top of Pikes Peak? There may be people that haven't been for a while. I mean, clearly we didn't have the COG for 3 years. There are certainly people that have driven up there. But now there is a new reason to go up and visit this new summit atop Pikes Peak. And the COG is the way to go. It's a fabulous experience. And then getting up there to see the new summit visitor center is something that I hope everyone listening will put on their bucket list. And then, yes, you're right. You touched on the museum, the Olympic and Paralympic Museum. And, you know, a week from Friday, the 23rd of July, is the opening ceremonies in Tokyo. And finally, the museum is going to get to be open during a time when we've got summer games going on. We had hoped that that might have happened last summer. And so now the museum is really enjoying a Colorado grand opening this summer that I just hope so many people will come downtown and see the museum, go through it. And while they've got viewing parties going on, there's so many things that are happening at the museum that we're really, really fortunate.
Exactly. There's so much to get into when it comes to the tourism industry, things going on around Southern Colorado that still ahead, even, you know, some off the beaten path, you know, hidden gems across the area as well. We'll break that down as The Extra continues right here on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. I'm joined by Doug Price and Susan Davies as we're talking all things visitors, tourism here across Southern Colorado, including some hidden gems across the Pikes Peak area and Pikes Peak region. You know, Susan, you're with the Trails and Open Space Coalition. As a lot of people return to Colorado Springs, our trails and attractions are becoming busier than ever as well.
That's so true, Andrew. You know, anybody that spent some time outdoors, and of course, we encourage everybody to spend time outdoors. It's one of the best, safest places for us to be, good for our physical and mental health. And it's why so many of us moved here and stay here. So, yes, it's crowded. But, I mean, I do think we need to keep it in perspective. You know, we're hearing reports from around the country where people are waiting in line to get into national parks and national monuments for literally hours. So, in comparison, we have it pretty good.
Exactly. And, you know, there are still some of the, you know, parks and attractions, you know, like, say, Garden of the Gods. It seems like there's always a wait no matter what time you go. But there's also some often popular trails that might not be as busy as well, and maybe even some hidden gems across the region that people can go out and explore and find maybe a new favorite trail here in Southern Colorado.
Oh, you're absolutely right. You know, when the pandemic struck, one of the things we did was send our staff out to hike and bike and explore new places. And we actually created a list of 100 plus places that we put on our website, encouraging people to try new spots, you know, because there is just so much in our region to explore. You know, off the top of my head, one place comes to mind is the Pineries. It's been only open a couple years, not even that. And it is marvelous. It's up in the Black Forest area, managed by our county parks. And it has a 9-mile loop that's fabulous for mountain biking. If you're going to hike it, you might go up and back because it is pretty long, but it's just a lovely area. And what's really unique is you get to see where the Black Forest fire did affect some of the land, but the green is coming back. So, you know, that's an area where there's a lot of parking. It's a place that locals should absolutely check out if they haven't done that yet.
Well, maybe not too many. You know, I actually just discovered that loop myself as I've been getting more into mountain biking the past couple weeks. And it is, like as you mentioned, it's a great area. It's a fun ride, but maybe not everyone needs to get out there. Maybe we can leave it a little bit less populated.
Okay, yeah, it'll be our secret, just you and me, Andrew, really.
Yeah, no one else. Yeah, just you and me, Susan.
Nobody else. You know, and our nature centers are such gems, you know, that folks know about that live here, but some do not, especially if they've just moved here. I mean, if you have visitors, if you have kids, check out the Fountain Creek Nature Center down in Fountain, or the Bear Creek Nature Center on the far west side of Bear Creek Regional Park, which is really one of our loveliest parks with its 12 new pickleball courts, the fastest growing sport in the country. So if you bring your racket with you, your paddle, you should definitely check out those pickleball courts. And I think for now, at least, the reservations aren't required. They're going to start requiring, but for these first few weeks, it just opened up. So something to check out.
Exactly.
One more thing that I wanted to add, you know, I think of our skateboard park that, you know, we all worked really hard to get that accomplished maybe, what, 6-7 years ago in Memorial Park. Mm-hmm. I mean, just going to watch the kids and the adults do tricks over there is so cool. And they're about to have a soft opening for the new beach house on Prospect Lake over in Memorial Park. Now, when's the last time you were in Memorial Park? I mean, I don't go there very often, but they have a new little fitness circuit you can walk around the lake. So you're looking at the lake and you're looking at people playing on the lake and you're getting a good workout. I mean, really, we have some jewels like that are just out there.
Exactly, yeah. So many things you may have went to years ago and haven't been back, and they're almost brand new compared to when they've been reopened. We also know there's been a big effort on the city as well as far as connecting downtown to our trails and Creek Center. Of course, that Park Union Bridge just recently opened attached to the Olympic and Paralympic Museum is a great example of that, and really connecting the downtown corridor into our great connected trail system throughout the majority of Colorado Springs.
Oh, you're absolutely right. You know, that new pedestrian, and you can absolutely take your bikes on it, too. Not only is there an elevator, but there's a little railing that helps you take your bike across it. And then it delivers you into, if you're coming from Bermejo, into America the Beautiful Park, where the Julie Penrose Fountain is working, and you have the splash pad there for the kids. You know, right there, they can play in the water. I mean, it's just breathtaking. Plus the view of the peak from there. And then from there, you jump on the Pikes Peak Greenway, and then you're heading into Monument Valley Park, where they've done some improvements to some of the historic walls. They've got the lit pickleball court there. You know, they're going to be refilling the ponds in the months to come. So then you can take that all the way down to practically Woodman. And if you get on Cottonwood Creek Trail, you can take it to Power. So you're absolutely right. Our connected trail system, people should rent an electric bike and head out there and just explore the city on the seat of a bike.
Exactly. And, you know, Susan, you'd mentioned it. You guys have a list of some of the best trails out there, maybe things that you do know, maybe things that you don't know as well. Again, what's the website and the easiest way to find that list if people are so apt to do so?
Oh, thank you. So the project is Get Out Spread Out. And if they go to the trailsandopenspaces.org website, there is on the front page, there's a link so that you can click to some of those ideas, some of those trails, and really get started.
Exactly. And, well, you know, besides the pineries, what are some other of the great hidden gems that we might want to clue people into?
Well, you know, one of my favorites is actually, you know, about 6 years ago, the city, with Topps money, purchased the eastern 250 acres of Ute Valley Park. Mm-hmm. So it is gorgeous. I mean, on the east side, you get just off I-25 on South Rock Rimmon, and there's a trailhead back there that's never crowded. And you can hike in there with all the hoodoos, and there are bridges and trails. And I will tell you, I rarely find crowds. If I see a half a dozen people in my hour hike, loop hike, I'm surprised. So truly, everybody goes to the west side of Ute Regional Park, which is lovely. Ute Park is lovely. But if you go to the east side, I think that the trail is actually more interesting. And the hoodoos, the rock formations, there's a cave for your kids to check out on the way. And it's just lovely. And what I love about it is you're minutes away from I-25, and it's not crowded.
Exactly. And, you know, there's so many places to explore, and again, all different activity levels, all kinds of skill levels, whether you want to hike, bike, or really anything in between. There are so many options to do so here in Colorado Springs throughout El Paso County. Again, that website is trailsandopenspaces.org, and that Get Out Spread Out map is great. You know, there's everything from walks to hikes, bike trails, everything you would want to do. There's really no limit as far as getting out and exploring and getting away from some of these crowds. Maybe you're just not used to being around all these crowded events as we're still coming out of the pandemic. It's a great way to kind of ease back in as well and still get out of the house and really enjoy everything that Southern Colorado has to offer, because we have so many great options here throughout the area.
You know, Andrew, well, I was going to also add in that Susan mentioned that Park Union Bridge. That Park Union Bridge is the ultimate new selfie spot. And so people, when they go from the museum across the railroad tracks on that bridge to America the Beautiful Park, at the end they have a beautiful platform for people to be able to take photos. We are going to take our staff over there and do a staff photo using that bridge as the backdrop and seeing the Julie Penrose statue and Pikes Peak. It's just amazing. And then you can go across the street to Widener Stadium with the Epicenter there and get, you know, some photos there. So again, there's just places that it's just a special place here in Olympic City, USA.
Exactly. Let's just promise, though, don't put up any blue signs to get those selfies encouraged, right? No big blue frames.
Okay.
Let's not go there.
Yeah, I won't touch that, Andrew.
All right. No, I mean, there's still a lot of people that have some lingering feelings about those, for sure. Pretty sure. But yeah, we've got so much more to talk about here as we're talking about everything going out there. And of course, we've talked about all the great places to get out and explore here throughout Southern Colorado, but maybe some best ways to make sure that you're doing so safely and responsibly. We'll get into some of the best practices as well as we continue the conversation with Susan Davies with the Trails and Open Space Coalition, as well as Doug Price with Visit Colorado Springs here on The Extra on KRDO News Radio 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, 92.5 FM. We have a check of local and national headlines, and our conversation about all things tourism and the hidden gems throughout our area continues here on The Extra on a Monday morning on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. I'm Andrew Rogers. Joining me this hour has been Doug Price with the Colorado Springs, or with Visit Colorado Springs, as well as Susan Davies with the Trail and Open Space Coalition. We're talking about all things tourism related, some of the hidden gems throughout Southern Colorado. If you're looking to get out and about, maybe find somewhere new, there are tons of great trails, various open spaces to go out and explore, our own backyard, maybe places that you haven't been to in a long time that have definitely been shifted and changed and much different than you remember. And of course, Susan, you know, before the break, we were talking about some of the best places to go, those hidden gems. Now there's also a lot of things to remember too if you're heading out and about to our local areas during our, you know, doing some local trails, to make sure you're doing it as safe as possible as well.
Well, you're absolutely right. You know, this time of year, we are so fortunate. We have some mosquitoes, not too many. I grew up in Wisconsin where it's the state bird. So I'm so grateful that mosquitoes are few and far between. Ticks aren't a huge problem out here, but we do have rattlesnakes. You know, that's the number one thing I worry about when I hike. And for that reason, I make sure that I have hiking boots on or some kind of footwear that's going to protect me, and I'm going to stay on the trail. I'm just going to be aware, because they're out, and they're especially in places like Austin Bluffs, Pulpit Rock, Ute Valley Park, Blodgett Peak, Garden of the Gods. But if you stay on the trail, if you don't, you know, bushwhack and just go off on your own, you're protecting the values, the conservation values of the resource, and you're protecting yourself as well.
Exactly. And of course, you know, we mentioned, you know, it also depends on not only where you're going, but when you're going as well, as we're into that time of year where we see those late afternoon thunderstorm chances kind of almost on a daily basis, whether they may or may not be in the forecast as well here across Southern Colorado.
Well, and they come up quickly, as you know. I mean, when you can be on the incline and suddenly they come up over the peak and they can be on you in a matter of minutes. So you really should, if you're going to take a longer hike, if you're going to try to hike to the top using Ute Trail, or any of the trails around, you're going to definitely want to do that fairly early in the day, take lots of water, but keep an eye on the sky because things can change so quickly. And hail, lightning, all of that can come up quickly. And I think most of us have been caught in one of those heavy hailstorms, and they're not pleasant. They really can ruin the day.
Exactly. And, of course, with those chances of thunderstorms as well, also knowing where some of the higher spots might be, too, because you might end up hiking into a portion that kind of is down into a valley. And, of course, with those thunderstorms also brings a chance for that heavy rain and the possibility of flash flooding. So knowing where some of those higher spots are to avoid the high water and the rushing water just to stay as safe as well, too.
And even in some of our urban trails, you know, you need to pay attention if you're going along the Pikes Peak Greenway. From time to time, you will see signs that say, you know, don't go down into the water if we're getting any kind of rain, because something can be happening upstream that you're not aware of, and it isn't common here. That's the good news. But still, you want to pay attention, because certainly the water can rise quickly, and we have the stories to tell in this region where people have had their cars caught in water or property damaged. You know, fortunately, we do not lose people too often. But nonetheless, it's just wise, and especially visitors. If you have people visiting your home, kind of give them the ways of the trail and give them good advice so they stay safe.
Exactly, and that also comes to just making sure if you are heading out, you're also prepared as well. We had the story just yesterday evening, a group of hikers out at Cheyenne Mountain State Park were a little unprepared, got caught about 6 miles up, and just really weren't prepared for the conditions on a, you know, warm, sunny day here in the elevation of southern Colorado. So there's a lot to make sure that you also bring out besides those boots and general knowledge of where you're going.
Well, Doug, I imagine that in the visitor center, one of the top things you're telling people is if you think you have enough water, take some more, because you never can have enough water when you're out.
Yeah, you know, Susan, you bring up a really good point, too, because our friends that operate the chamber over in Manitou Springs talk about all the time the people that come into the chamber looking for maps, and then they say, well, I just want to go do the incline because it's been on my bucket list. And, you know, they have to kind of qualify them a little bit and ask them, you know, how long have you been in town? How acclimated are you? How much water do you have? Because just like Andrew talked about North Cheyenne Canyon yesterday, it happens on the incline too often. People are unprepared. And so, yes, just when you think you can't drink any more water, you should have a little bit more.
Exactly. That's something, you know, I grew up here and, you know, except for couple years going to lower climates, I have to remind myself that every day too. So even those of us who've been around and think we're acclimated, you know, that lack of water can sneak up on really any of us.
Well, and you know what, Andrew, I think when we come back,
too important.
Yeah, and when we come back for the next segment, I think one of the things that Susan can address that would be interesting for listeners is to hear about some of the trail improvement projects that are planned going forward, as well as a really important TOPS initiative that I think listeners should hear the status of and where we're going. So those would be some good things for us to talk about when we come back.
Exactly. We will talk about those planned improvements and those initiatives going on with TOPS as we continue here on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio, talking with Doug Price of Visit Colorado Springs, as well as Susan Davies of the Trails and Open Spaces Coalition. And before the break, we talked about a lot of things going on with the trails. And Susan, there's a lot of improvements that is continuing to go on through the TOPS and a lot of latest initiatives. Let's talk about some of the improvements being made to our area trails.
Absolutely. So that over the next, you know, year or two, you're going to see improvements to the Sand Creek Trail, which is in the southeast part of the city. It's really a lovely trail. It's underutilized, but it connects, or rather it will connect within the next year, to the Pikes Peak Greenway, where you're going to be able to get on that, cross Hancock, and then take the Sand Creek Trail all the way up, you know, to Platte and then beyond. So, and it is really something to experience. It's just really a really pretty trail. So there's going to be some improvements on that trail. You know, we've been talking for years about how do we get the Legacy Loop finally finished. That's the 10-mile loop around the city that connects many different trails, like the Shooks Run Trail, the Pikes Peak Greenway, the Rock Island Trail. That is going to see some improvement on the north end along the railroad up there, within the next year or so. And that's marvelous because that's a true connector for folks that want to then get on Templeton Gap or some of the other places. So look for those kinds of improvements as well. Plus, anybody that hasn't yet been on the Cottonwood Creek Trail that you can take from the Pikes Peak Greenway all the way out to Powers, it's kind of uphill as you get to Powers, but it's really worth it coming back because it's all downhill and it's lovely. But the work, what they're going to try now is to get some trail easements on the other side of Powers to connect those neighborhoods. So those folks over on that side of town can use that trail both for transportation as well as recreation. So, I mean, those are some great developments. Plus, we're looking at eventually finishing that 10K, so that's about 6 miles, using the Pikes Peak Greenway on both sides of Monument Creek. One of the things we've wanted to do is to get that trail under Mesa, so that right near Colorado College, you wouldn't have to wait at a stop sign. You could actually go under the road on both sides of the creek. Well, that's in the plans for the next couple of years, too. So lots of great improvements in our trail system.
Exactly. It does sound like it is always evolving and really helping to become much more of an interconnected trail city as well. And there's some great initiatives going on as well through the Trails and Open Spaces Coalitions. And let's talk about some of these other initiatives and things also being worked on currently.
Well, I'd love to share that. That's one of the most exciting things. I would argue one of the best gifts we ever gave to ourselves was back in 1997, before I moved here, where we passed the TOPS initiative. Now, that's that one penny on every $10 spent in Colorado Springs. And it goes into a fund that buys property for open space, builds parks, and connects trails. Now, a penny is the lowest TOPS tax up and down the Front Range, but it's a mighty penny. And it gets about $10 million. That's how much money is raised every year. Well, as fast as we're growing as a community, as many needs as there are in terms of additional parks, more miles of trails, more acres of open space, it needs to increase. And we did some surveys in the community not that long ago, and indeed people said yes. If we had the chance to vote on a tax increase, we would. So we're thinking the council and the mayor will support putting something on this November ballot that would cost the average household about $29 per year, not a week, not a month, per year, and would significantly increase the amount of money that we would have to build new parks, improve playgrounds, and also take care of what we have. So we're very, very excited about giving the voters this opportunity.
And if people want to learn more just about everything that that current penny is doing and where all that money that TOPS does bring in goes to, is the best website just heading over to trailsandopenspaces.org?
Yes, we do have a good TOPS page that describes the initiative, talks about what TOPS has accomplished in the last 20-plus years. We'd encourage them to learn more.
Exactly. Well, Susan, thank you so much for joining us. Doug Price, as we've got about, 4 minutes left here on The Extra, if somebody's planning a vacation, maybe they have visitors finally coming out to visit Colorado Springs after a long year of pandemic-related shutdowns, what are some of the great places that maybe people aren't realizing, but we've really got to introduce people visiting Colorado Springs to?
Well, I hope that people will come to visit COS.com and go to our trip planner and put in their interest levels and the time of year and all those sorts of different nuances, and we will give you all sorts of ideas and plans that you can do when your friends and relatives are visiting. You know, Andrew, as we wrap up, one of the things I want to make sure that people have on their calendar is Saturday, July 31st. Saturday, July 31st is the 150th birthday of the city of Colorado Springs. And there's that day downtown, there's going to be a parade that starts at 11 down Tejon Street, and then from noon to 8, going right down Bermejoe on the plaza towards the new Olympic and Paralympic Museum. There's just going to be all sorts of fun activities. There will be athletes there signing autographs, including like Jackie Joyner-Kersee and Bonnie Blair. I mean, some real recognizable names. And so I hope people will come out and do that. And last week, Susan and I got a chance to attend an event out at the 21C Library that was just depicts the then and now for our city of Colorado Springs. A fabulous local photographer by the name of Mike Pock has put together this exhibit, of photos that you can go out to Library 21C and during the week, during their regular hours, and on two different floors, Mike has put these pictures together that are just remarkable, and we really felt privileged to get a chance to see this project. I'm sure that eventually they'll end up downtown at the Pioneers Museum. But I would just encourage you to take a look and do some things to celebrate 150 years in our city. And Saturday, July 31st, is the big event.
Exactly, Ed. It's going to be a fantastic birthday party for Colorado Springs, wrapping up really a almost year of sesquicentennial-related events. And for all that information, for all the details on everything going on, the full parade route, ways to still get involved, just head on over to coloradosprings.gov/CS150. Doug Price, Susan Davies, thank you so much for joining me here on The Extra and getting us caught up on all things tourism-related, not only people coming into town, but maybe exploring some places throughout the city that we may not be aware of and finding some of those hidden gems throughout the area.
Oh, it was a pleasure.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks for having us.
Exactly. And again, for all that information, to find that vacation planner, just head over to visitcos.com as well as trailsandopenspaces.org for the list of trails, the best way to get outside and explore southern Colorado. That does it here on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Still ahead, we have the Tom Martino Troubleshooter Show right here on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, 92.5 FM. I'm Andrew Rogers. Thanks for joining us this morning on The Extra.